And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Call Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. It is great to be with you this Friday. It's First Amendment Friday, by the way, so I'm hoping to get plenty of calls in, make up to some of you for having had to end the program with several people on hoping to get a chance to talk. And so today, let's get plenty of calls in. The number is 888-589-8840. And, you know, I guess the first fun little thing to bring up is AOC whining over the fact that she has been ridiculed or made fun of because she worked as a bartender and a waitress, and that Republicans, therefore, don't understand working people. You know, I won't say some of the things that I could say to the idea that this woman is working as a bartender and she wants everybody to sympathize with her as a result. Lots of people have done that. When my wife and I were starting out, I actually got a job cleaning office toilets. And I was not ashamed of it. I was proud to do it because I was trying to earn some extra money for my family that we desperately needed. And she wants to whine about sashaying back and forth in front of a bar and pouring liquor for people. I mean, give me a break. But, you know, here's the ironic thing. They on Fox, they talked about the fact that she has a store, you know, a merchandise store. And she's got a Tax the Rich sweatshirt that costs $58. Yeah, Tax the Rich. Looks like she expects the rich to buy her merchandise. I mean, we've got a Stand store for our nonprofit. Believe me, sweatshirts don't cost 58 bucks. So I'm thinking, what kind of sweatshirt is this? Oh, this is the special AOC sweatshirt for the poor and the low income and the workers. 58 bucks. You know, these people, I say, they can't really see themselves. There is a kind of spiritual blindness on them that prevents them from seeing the utter hypocrisy and absurdity of the things that they say and do. Well, that's just a little fun thing to throw out there. Look, the most serious topic is, I don't know whether you all caught this video and this report on what happened in Georgia during the so-called vote count, when some woman steps up and says, everybody go home, we're stopping the count. But then video proves that they continued counting. And they counted ballots that were stuffed under a table in these big cases that suddenly got pulled out when everybody else was gone. These other ballots were suddenly pulled out and counted as well. Where did those ballots come from? Why were they in a place where there were no other ballots? And why was it important that everybody leave in order for those ballots to be counted? Something is rotten in Denmark, folks. There's no question about that. Something is rotten in Denmark. And let me tell you what the real issue is here. I think the evidence is there. See, look, because as far as I am concerned, that alone should be enough to invalidate that outcome. I mean, that's enough. Because what is clear is that the proper process and procedure was not followed. There were plenty of opportunities to cheat. And you all know that with these mail-in ballots, there's no verification of signatures. So you could just make up ballots, put them aside, and say, when the right time comes, we'll pull these out and we'll make sure that our guy wins. And, you know, it sounds to me like that may well be what happened in Georgia. And even if that's not what happened, let's be fair. Even if that's not what happened, the procedure is so questionable that the election result cannot be certified. It simply can't. The woman who was reporting on this said there was enough time and enough machines that were being used that the number of ballots that could have been counted in that three-hour period when they ran everybody else out, told them it was over, and then continued to count until well after 1 a.m., that there was plenty of time to manufacture or to count in enough ballots to change the result. And that apparently is what they did. It certainly looks that way. I mean, I can't say definitively that that's what they did. I wasn't there. I wasn't a part of it. But it certainly looks that way. And, you know, think about this too, folks. The fact that half the country, it is fully half the country, thinks that our electoral process has been corrupted ought to be enough to make people on both sides of the aisle say, you know what, wait a minute. We're going to lose our country if we continue down this road, because you know what this leads to. If the electoral process cannot be trusted, what tends to happen in countries where that is the case is that violence erupts. Because people say, well, I don't trust that process, and I've been cheated, and I want my person in there or my people in there, and if they're going to cheat my people out of it, then we're just going to have to fight it out in the streets. Now, thank God that's not what's happened in America, and we don't ever want that to happen in America, but that's what happens in countries all throughout the world and has happened since democracy began to be experimented with by nations that had no real experience with it. When people did not trust the outcome, did not trust the procedure, did not trust the process, they resorted to arms. We can't afford to have our electoral process tainted this way. And let me say this. This is my view. All mail-in balloting, except for people who are handicapped, infirm, you know, in other words, they simply cannot get out. All other mail-in ballots should be done away with, that we simply do not use them. There's no way to verify their authenticity. There's simply no way to do it. Oh, you can do it by signature, please. Signatures can be forged. You didn't watch the person sign the document. It's not like me having a document notarized in which I have to go show my ID to the notary, sign it in the notary's presence, so then the notary certifies that it is me who signed this document. That's not what you have with mail-in ballots. There's no way of knowing who that ballot was actually sent in by or who actually is casting that ballot. Whether that's a real person or it's a fictitious person or it's a dead person's name being used, no, there's no way to know. It's got to be done away with. And I really believe, I think I said this yesterday, I think that the next congressional and presidential campaigns should have that as a major issue. We must restore the integrity of our voting process. And the only way to do that is that Americans must vote in person. And by the way, I do away with all this Sunday voting and all this nonsense because it's too subject to corruption. You get some brainwashed, indoctrinated preacher up there like this guy, Raphael Warnock, and he stands up and tells his church, okay, we're all going to the polls. And of course, you know we can't vote for those racists. Code language for Republicans. We've got to vote for social justice, which is code language for socialism in the Democrat Party. And you just basically what you've got is machine politics. You don't have individuals making prudential decisions on their own. You've got people manipulating them into doing what they want them to do. And I've watched it in action. Believe me, this is real. All that stuff needs to be done away with. Voting should be an individual activity based on your personal conscience, your own information, your own research, your own decision-making, not what some machine has manipulated you or forced you to do. Back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. Most Americans say we face serious problems, and yet there is growing evidence we aren't really serious about serious problems. Ned Ryan wrote a commentary about an unserious movement for an unserious people. Although many of his criticisms are focused on the Republican Party, most of his comments apply to both parties and most political leaders today. He says we need to acknowledge that we, in many ways, have become an unserious people. No serious civilization and society would allow a fraction of what is taking place here, from the absurdity of our education system to the dominance of big tech monopolies to our current form of elections. Let's focus on the election system. The last elections were a reminder that we allowed mail-in ballots, questionable voting software, and voting rolls with lots of inaccuracies. For example, the mail-in ballot system we have has been rejected by nearly all civilized nations, even ones the left recognizes as among the most advanced. What about electronic voting? Canada will not even allow electronic voting. They have paper ballots and have observers installed in every polling station because of faith in the outcome of the elections is important there. In the past, I've asked how serious we are about education. Total expenditures for public elementary and secondary schools is $739 billion. That works out to more than $14,000 per public school student. Let me ask you a question. If I gave you more than $14,000 per student, would you spend it in the way we currently spend it? Same question for healthcare. We currently spend $3.6 trillion on healthcare. If I gave you more than $3 trillion to spend, would you spend it the way we currently spend it? Of course not. We aren't really serious. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. Viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Children's hearts around the world have been touched and opened to Christ with Operation Christmas Child Shoebox Gifts. The next step is the greatest journey. Your gift of $6 provides evangelism and discipleship for children and multiplication of the church in over 100 countries worldwide. Join with AFR and other listeners in this powerful outreach, sending the gospel into the corners of the world. Since 2009, as a result of this program, nearly 9 million children have made decisions to follow Christ. You can send one child on the greatest journey for just $6. $60 reaches 10 children. $150 reaches 25 children. Your donation provides instruction materials and 12 discipleship lessons in a child's own language, led by a teacher trained by Samaritan's Purse. Call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or donate online at afr.net and help send children on the greatest journey.
Brian Fisher here. Every Republican senator helps Mike Lee outsource American jobs to India. A security camera in Georgia catches election workers wheeling in suitcases filled with ballots after everybody had gone home. A columnist suggests lockdown politicians are not just hypocrites, but sociopaths. And Dr. Grinch cancels Christmas. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
We're back. The number is 888-589-8840. Let me just get a couple of other things on the table, and I'm going to come right to your calls. We're going to get plenty of calls in today. Marsha Blackburn is being criticized for pointing out that communist China is stealing and lying and cheating. She mentions a 5,000-year history, which is true. That is not a racial slur. It has to do with the nature of the leadership and the governmental arrangements that they've had in communist China, which you all know, was ruled primarily by emperors, and often those emperors were at war with one another, but the emperor was considered to be nothing less than God, and we've got the same thing in China right now. They've got the same thing in China right now because Xi Jinping is nothing less than God in China, and the Communist Chinese Party, the Chinese Communist Party, I should say, is a totalitarian group of thugs who have absolute control over the people. They don't care about honesty. They don't care about decency. They don't care about honor. All they care about is obtaining hegemony over the world and, of course, subjugating the United States of America. Now, I don't want to go to war with China or anything like that, but I want to remind everybody, Hitler walked into the Sudetenland. Hitler walked into Czechoslovakia, walked into Austria, and nobody said a word. Neville Chamberlain was running around waving the Munich Agreement, talking about peace in our time. What an idiot he was. I mean, this he didn't realize that he was dealing with a megalomaniac who had nothing less than the complete enslavement of all of Europe under his leadership. And Chamberlain's running around saying, oh, we can deal with Hitler. We can deal with him. And you got the same thing from the left today. You know, in fact, Facebook is being sued because apparently they have been favoring foreign workers over American workers and using the HB1 visa system and basically avoiding interviewing and talking to Americans about jobs that start at $156,000. And guess who their primary employment pool is from? China. Bunch of traitors. Yeah, that's right. I said it and I mean it. I mean, putting this communist totalitarian country that enslaves people and tortures people and imprisons people and kills people willy-nilly, and putting them in front of your own country and rewarding them and being a sycophant to them is just disgusting to me. Disgusting. The freedom that allowed you to build this company and then you bend over for communist China. Oh, I tell you, it's beneath contempt. It really is. It's beneath contempt. And I told you all, we need to do some national security investigations. I'm not interested in putting people in jail for nothing or just because they disagree with me or anything like that. But this is national security stuff, and we need to do some national security investigations of some of these companies to determine whether, in fact, they are aiding and abetting the enemy against the interests of the United States. And because I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Facebook, Google, Twitter, all of them aren't doing things for the Communist Chinese Party to disadvantage the United States of America because they, by and large, hate our country and love Marxism and socialism. And, you know, this is nothing new, folks. When the Soviet Union arose, the leftists in America were, oh, you know, the Soviet Union is finally, we have the utopia we want. I mean, yeah, they just went crazy. Oh, they fell in love. And Stalin was just the best thing since sliced bread. That vicious, psychotic, paranoid murderer. And they just loved him. They loved Fidel Castro. This is the way they think. And how these people can look at themselves in the mirror is beyond me. It really is. 888-589-8840. All right, we're going to get to your calls early this time. This is First Amendment Friday. Anything you want to talk about, by the way, is on the table. That's why I'm not going to go through a bunch of topics. Let you bring up some things maybe that I haven't raised. But let's go to Christian in Texas. Christian, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop, for taking my call. Happy belated Thanksgiving. But
thank you.
I do have two-part questions to ask you, Bishop. Number one, you know, with the failure of all the mainstream media not reporting Joe Biden's son and everything that went with it, so they failed to really report. So, I mean, can the mainstream media be banned? And, you know, so that at least now that we know that they are anti-America, can they be banned? That's number one. And then number two, I know you are familiar with Elijah, okay? Elijah's principle. Elijah's principle is like what I'm just about to ask you. I know 850 supposedly prophets who were misleading the country, using Jezebel and Ahab, you know, and, you know, in the final analysis, you know the story. So Elijah arrested all of them. Elijah arrested all of them and chop off their heads. Can we, in this instant, knowing what the media has done and all the play actors that try to subvert the democracy that we have here, can we arrest each and every one of them and do just like how Elijah did? These are my questions.
Okay.
Thank you so very much.
All right, Christian. Christian, no. The answer is no and no. No, we can't ban the media because we have a First Amendment that gives freedom of press. The only thing we can do with the media, frankly, like big tech, is we can stop them from using their monopoly to hurt our country and to damage our national security. And we can certainly open it up. We can get rid of 230 that shields them from lawsuits. Just like Twitter, for example, banned me a year and a half ago. They said it was a suspension. Well, guess what? The suspension was never lifted, and I never heard any communication from them. I appealed it, never heard a thing. And these are like many states, and they need to be treated like many states, and they need to be held accountable for their actions, because they're not like other businesses. They're not like, you know, the coal industry or the housing industry or making retail clothes. This is entirely different. This goes to the heart of who we are as a nation, which is freedom of speech, the ability to communicate with each other. And frankly, they're using it as an enemy against our own country and people. And that to me has got to be dealt with. So, but we can't ban them. We can't ban the mainstream media. And no, Christian, we can't take people out and execute them. Let's just be clear about that. We cannot do that. God would not be pleased with that. We are living in the age of grace. And you remember the story of Jesus going through Samaria, about to go through Samaria, and the Samaritans told James and John they didn't want him coming through there because he was on his way to Jerusalem. And of course, the Samaritans and the just kind of, it was kind of like a racial issue, right? I talk a little bit about this in some of my talks, but it was kind of like a racial issue. The Samaritans and Jews didn't like each other. Remember the woman at the well said to Jesus, you know, you being a Jew, ask of me. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And they said to Jesus, let's call down fire on their heads. Jesus said, no. He said, no, fellas, no. You don't know what spirit you were of. I didn't come to destroy men, but to save them. So I'd say the same thing, Christian. So we got to pray for these people. We got to debate them. We've got to engage them. We've got to fight the good fight of faith. We got to be involved in the political process. You all know me. I am aggressive. Take no prisoners when it comes to enunciating the truth and standing up for it. But they're the ones who want to hurt people and destroy people. We as Christians love people. And what we ultimately want is for them to come over to the light and come over to righteousness and come over to faith in God so that they can experience the joy, the peace, the love, and the assurance of eternal salvation that we have. Thank you for the call, Christian. Appreciate it. Let's go to Debbie in Tennessee. Debbie, welcome.
Oh, Bishop, praise God. Thank you for taking
praise
my
God.
Call. I feel for the previous caller. He's actually frustrated, but I have some good news for him. I love how you described our goals as Christians. We ache for them to become Christians, these people.
Yes.
And, the thing is, we do have an arsenal, but it's spiritual.
Amen.
I said praying is like taking an Uzi to the dark kingdom. But at this point, we need more than an Uzi. We need a bomb. Fasting is the bomb. And a group of friends and I are trying to cover 40 days between now and the inauguration with fasting. We're asking people to take a day or maybe just a meal. And we've got to fast. Bishop, you know, that's not taught in our churches like it ought to be. It's a reality in the Bible. It's done Old Testament, New Testament. Jesus fasted. And I think we are in a desperate need for God's people to not just pray, but fast. And I'm just putting out a plea for your audience, for people to participate in that.
Well, Debbie, I couldn't agree with you more. Some of the most powerful experiences I've had since my walk with God have been when I was fasting. Fasting is a very, very powerful tool, and you are absolutely right. In fact, during one election season, I led a 40-day fast leading up to the election. So it unleashes a tremendous move of the Holy Spirit in our lives when we give up food in order to get just draw closer to God and make Him our total dependence. Back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it. James White, 44, thought his civilian job at McClellan Air Force Base was a waste of time and money. Doing the opposite of what most folks would have done, Mr. White took pencil and paper in hand and began to write a suggestion for the suggestion box. He told the U.S. government that the abolishment of his position as an inventory management specialist was in the best interest of all concerned. Now, that's something the average fellow wouldn't do. The average fellow would try to hang on as long as possible, but then Mr. White wasn't an average fellow. The suggestion bounced through bureaucratic channels for several months until it finally reached the Air Force Logistics Command at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio. And along the way, no doubt caused many an eyebrow to be raised and perhaps caused many a chuckle to boot. At Wright-Patterson, someone appreciated his idea and agreed with him. So in a short time, White's job was scrapped. There was no longer an opening for an inventory management specialist. There's an old law which says that one has to lose himself to find himself. Mr. White's actions were an example of that law being put into practice. He considered the job an unnecessary burden on the taxpayers. He saw a better way of getting the job done, and he was willing to risk his source of livelihood for the betterment of his employer. He'd gotten self out of the way and put a desire to do what was best above himself. All of us could benefit from such an example, for many of us have never lost ourselves. We think of ourselves as the number one player in this game of life, and our thoughts hardly ever go beyond ourselves. We would seldom think there would be a better way of doing what we're doing, and certainly would not suggest it if there were. We might lose what we're doing. One day, years ago now, Carpenter told some friends of his that if they would lose themselves, they could find themselves. In fact, he said, one could never find his true self until he had lost himself. And he went on to say that the person who was continually looking out for old number one would inevitably lose what he did have. The principle is true not only in religion, but in the whole of life. When you're willing to lose, then you're ready to find. And I guess many of us are concerned about James White. We nearly always worry over those who lose themselves in service to others. But we shouldn't. It's true, White lost his job as inventory management specialist. But he got a check for $1,000 for his suggestion and was promoted to supervisor. He lost himself to find himself and a better job. You know, truth is truth in whatever area you find it.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Hey, for those of you listening in the Virginia and North Carolina area, I will be at my church, 943 Canal Drive in Chesapeake, on Sunday at 11 a.m. And, of course, we're live streaming at 1145 at E.W. Jackson SR and various and other sundry channels. But you can certainly get it there. Love to have you stop by. Love to meet you face to face. I get a chance to meet a number of our listeners right there in my own church who live in the area and come by and meet me. As that's always a great thing. By the way, I've just started a new segment on live streaming called The Wisdom Minute at 8:30 a.m. every morning. I am teaching on one of the Proverbs today. I taught on Proverbs chapter 4. I began it on the 1st, and of course tomorrow I'll be teaching on Proverbs chapter 5 and Sunday on Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to do it every single day. Some days will be shorter than others, but they've been running 10, 15 minutes. I'm just getting into it, so it's taking me a little bit to figure out how not to get into some of the rather broad topics that the text can lead to. But I'm having fun at it, and I think those who are having an opportunity to listen are enjoying it too. The number again is 888-589-8840. It is First Amendment Friday. I'm focusing on what you think, have to say. Any topic that came up this week or any topic that you can think of that maybe hasn't come up at all. So let's get back to the lines. We've got some open lines. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to George in Missouri. George, welcome.
How you doing today, Bishop?
I'm blessed. How are you?
All right, so far. I think the President of the United States, our Donald J. Trump, as Kerry, I didn't go on the swift boats, can't say his name. I think that we the people, and me being part of we the people of the United States, need to do a constitutional voting emergency. Shut down the government until we get this voting right. I don't care if we have to go back to the 1920s, where our 40s or wherever, without computers, just like you said. And two, these politicians that are getting paid $174,000 apiece, Democrat and Republican,
plus expenses,
that aren't working for we the people. We shouldn't have to be, if they're not doing, each and every one of them should be doing good for America and not bad. And when they do bad and put us in the bad stuff, they should be fired like any other employee. And if they're not doing their job for we the people of the United States, you're fired.
All right. Thank you so much. I couldn't agree more. I've often reminded people and reminded politicians, we the people don't work for them. They work for us. Thanks for the call, George. Appreciate it. Let's go to Teresa in Tennessee. Teresa, welcome.
Hello. Thank you. I love y'all's show and love every one of y'all, and God bless y'all.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just wanted to let you know you were talking about the mail-in ballots earlier, and my daughter and me both were born with a crippling bone disease, and we both have autoimmune diseases. And she is in a wheelchair. She went and voted in public. I, most of the time, have a walker or a quad cane, and I went and voted in person. So I believe very few people should have to have a mail-in ballot.
Wow, Teresa, that's a powerful testimony because, you know, you did hear me make the exception. I said for people who are disabled, who can't get out, okay, I can see it. But for able-bodied Americans, they need to get out and vote. There needs to be paper ballots. But that is a testament to you and to your daughter that in spite of your disabilities, you got out there and voted. So God bless you for it. If every American would take that attitude that it is such a sacred responsibility that we're taking it upon ourselves. It's our responsibility. We have to be babied through it. I think we'd be out of this mess in very, very short order. So thank you, Teresa, for that uplifting testimony. God bless you. And let's hope the people of Georgia hear that loud and clear. All right, let's go to Geneva in Arkansas. Geneva, welcome.
Well, hello there, Bishop. It's me again.
Well, hello there, Geneva. I'm glad it's you again.
Yeah, you don't know how bad I wish I was closer to your church because I sure would love to come and talk to you. But
thank you.
I was just wondering if you know how the media is trying to hurry up and get Biden in there and get Trump to admit that he's lost and never that. Which you know I don't want him to even admit that. But if he does get in there and then they find all this shenanigans is true and they can prove it, will them people be prosecuted just like any of us if we did something wrong to the government? Would they be kicked out and whipped, you know, just like we would be? I mean, don't need a peach limb, you need a whip, you know.
Geneva, I think the sad fact is that the Democrats have shown themselves to be people, a party because I can't speak for every individual, but a party so lacking in integrity that I think even if they had proof that someone had engaged in criminal activity in their behalf, they would cover it up. It would get buried. Once they're in power, once they're in control, they control the Justice Department, they control the FBI, I think all that stuff would get buried. And it's really a sad commentary, because I'd like to think that if I were in that position, that I would not protect someone simply because I thought they were benefiting me. That if they were violating the law, the country's bigger than all of us. It's more important than any one of us as a nation. We've got to preserve our sense of the importance of the rule of law. We've got to preserve our sense of integrity, and that the law operates on the basis of equality for each American. But I think the Democrat Party just doesn't care about any of that. I mean, if it did, look at Hunter Biden. If it did, they would be saying something is clearly wrong. And it's just so obvious to the rest of us that you don't even have, there's not even a debate. It's one of those self-evident truths, as the founding fathers called it. But they're not touching with a 10-foot pole, and even the media, they just bury it. So sadly, Geneva, no. I think if they win, I think lawlessness will abound, except they'll use prosecutorial authority to punish anyone they can who doesn't agree with them. That I think, unfortunately, that's where they are, and that's why they don't need to be in power ever. Okay, let's go to Rodney in West Virginia. Rodney, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call. I want to thank you for everything that you do in your ministry. It's a great blessing to so many people. The comment that I want to make is, I think we need to be praying for these leaders in these states where these elections are in question to repent of their sin. I mean, it's obviously that there's something going on. You know, when you catch somebody in a lie, then they tell another lie to cover it up, and another lie, and another lie. And I think that's what's going on in a lot of these places. If you're right, Joe Biden didn't win, but if he ends up in office, that a lot of this stuff is going to be swept under the rug and not investigated, and these people are going to get away with it. And there's a lot of risk for them which I think will happen, that Donald Trump gets placed back in office where he rightfully belongs.
Yeah, if he gets placed in office and we get some... See, the other problem that we've got, Rodney, is... Donald Trump, whatever people might say about him, whatever they might think, Donald Trump is clearly a man of conviction and courage. And he doesn't care about disrupting when he decides that something needs to be addressed. And I think we've got a lot of people, even some conservatives, who are just afraid to rock the boat. They're just afraid to be disruptors. And Donald Trump is not afraid to be a disruptor. And we need more disruptors, because it's obvious we've got a lot of corruption in our government. Shouldn't surprise us. Anytime you've got $1.5 trillion floating around, you know you're going to have a lot of corruption. But we would just hope that we would get leaders who would ferret that stuff out and just drive it out and say, look, we serve the American people. We're not here to feather our own nests and to feed at the government trough. We're here to do good work for them and make sure we preserve this constitutional republic. And here again, whatever people may feel about his flaws, I think that Donald Trump is dedicated to that proposition. And I think that's why so many Americans are so deeply appreciative of him. All right, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Thanks for the call, Rodney. We'll be back in a moment.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years. And I would just like to tell you that prayer changes things. Yes, you grieve over the prodigal, but God will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you.
Submit a prayer request for a prodigal at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
My heart's desire is that more churches would start a prodigal box, because we all have someone.
inhisimage.movie/prayer. Christmas calls for Christmas music. Get it now with the AFR app.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Download the AFR app for free from your local app store and enjoy Christmas music from AFR all season long.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy...
Merry Christmas.
Christmas from American Family Radio.
We want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
What would it be like if every person knew that they were created in the image of God?
After 2 years in the making, American Family Studios proudly presents In His Image, delighting in God's plan for gender and sexuality.
There are only two sexes, male or female. If you're conceived with a Y chromosome, you will develop into a male.
In His Image is a documentary featuring life-changing testimonies of former LGBT individuals.
In my most formative years of development of sexuality, I went through a brutal time of sexual distortion, molestation.
Visit inhisimage.movie to watch In His Image.
Well, everybody, welcome to this unboxing video as we unbox my hormone blockers.
In His Image from American Family Studios is available now for free viewing. Visit inhisimage.movie.
You're made in the image of God.
Neither one of us came from homes where we knew how to be honest, how to resolve conflict. We didn't observe a family. Neither one of us had families who taught us how to listen well, who taught us how to notice hurts and repair hurts.
Kay Yurkovich on Focus on the Family Minute.
So I would say, in hindsight, God started to teach us about the whole subject of emotional connection, and then He brought in this whole subject of attachment and the wounds of attachment, and that's where all the lights went on. Because I realized, well, no wonder I'm struggling sexually. I'm an avoider. I didn't come from an affectionate home. I don't know how to emotionally connect. I don't know how to say what I want. I don't even know what I need. No wonder I'm struggling.
Building an emotional connection with your spouse is essential to a healthier marriage. More from Kay at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, we're going to try to get all of your calls in. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go right to it. I think this is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, Shelia. Is it Shelia in Alabama? Is that the correct pronunciation?
Or is it just Shelia? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you? Yes, I can hear you just fine.
All right. I enjoy your program. I just got one comment and I'm going to hang up. I've heard a lot of people talking about this, the person with the sweatshirt that says tax the rich, and a $58 sweatshirt that says tax the rich.
Right,
and I think I'm going to go buy me a $15 or $20 sweatshirt, and in as big a letters as I can get on it, I'm going to have written on that sweatshirt, "I voted legitimately." Thank you.
All right, Shelia, there you go. And that's a T-shirt that everybody can afford and everybody's willing to pay. But thank you for the call. We appreciate that. You know, folks, the hypocrisy of the left, you know, they say Joe Biden has said he's going to raise taxes. But I heard one of his spokespersons says, but only people making more than $800,000 a year are going to pay more in taxes because they can afford it. And you know, my thought was, the issue is not whether they can afford it. The issue is whether government has a right to take it, because we have certain enumerated powers set forth in the Constitution, and one of them is not. One of those enumerated powers is not to take from you to give to someone else. Now, if somebody can find that for me in the Constitution, I'd love to see it. In fact, Barack Obama, I don't know whether you all recall this, but he famously said he thought that the Constitution was flawed because it didn't address redistributive justice. And, you know, you want to say, they didn't intend to address it, dum-dum. Oh, forgive me, I'm not calling dumb, but you know what I mean? It's like, what are you, it was flawed because they didn't address redistributive justice. People think, first of all, you realize there'll never be a perfect distribution of anything. Of anything. God didn't perfectly distribute everything to everybody. He gave to each one severally as He will. Remember the parable? He gave to one talent, to another three, to another five. I can't sing. Well, I can sing a little bit, but a very little bit, and not enough to lose my audience by trying. Okay, so I mean, but these socialist utopians think that somehow give them the power and they'll make us all equal. You know, as a matter of fact, Kamala Harris said that we have to start dealing with equality of results. Yeah, how do you do that? I'll tell you how you do it, folks. At the point of a gun. That's what it always comes down to. Let's get back to your calls. Let's come to Linda in Tennessee. Linda, welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Bishop. It's an honor and a privilege to get to talk to you. I've called in before, and I'll just tell you this. I have been a rural mail carrier for going on 20 years in two different states. And this is the first year that I can ever remember. Now, I have delivered mail through a census before. This year, there have been numerous letters from the Census Bureau that have gone to vacant lots with made-up addresses. In houses that have been vacant and dilapidated for years. Nobody lives there. But yet they're getting these mailings from the census, and to me there's no doubt at all that they have been using those census addresses to be sending out those mail-in ballots. And I have said for a very long time that there is no way that you can verify who is receiving this mail actually lives there, unless it's, for instance, my route is just a small rural route, and I know everybody on my route. But when it comes to big cities or even slightly medium-sized towns, there's no way you can know who is or isn't there, if they moved in, if they moved out. And it just the sheer volume of made-up addresses that, there's nobody there. And to me, that just shows proof that they made up all those mail-in ballots simply to cheat the system anyway. Wow. And it just irritates me to no end. And I've talked to some people till I'm blue in the face, and nobody wants to hear it. And just for yourself, for you and all your listeners, there are still a few of us good mail carriers out there. Lord, please pray for us, because we have a tough job as it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Linda, thank you so much for the call, and God bless you. You stay safe out there delivering mail. I'm glad you're in a rural area. You say so. It's probably pretty safe. You know everybody on your route. But the fact, folks, that a mail carrier would call us and say, you know what? I'm seeing the corruption in the system flowing through my hands with mail going to places where it shouldn't be going, to people who don't exist. Well, if you can do that with the census, I mean, you don't think you can do that with the mail? And Linda's honest. What if a person is corrupt? What if a mail carrier really hates Donald Trump? And you rest assured, there are a lot of them out there who do. The thing is just fraught with all kinds of opportunities for malicious and dishonest manipulation of the voting system. So they've just got to be done away with, folks, except for the rare exceptions. And you know, I had one caller straight me. I said, look, my daughter and I are both disabled, and we got to the polls. So, well, listen, God bless you. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it, Linda. Let's go to Anthony in Alabama. Anthony, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop? I have a legal question for you, but I wanted to make a comment that other person said about a shirt. I have a shirt that says, Jesus is my savior and Trump's my president. But anyway, the legal question I have is, not to put you on a spot, so I'm not trying to ask your opinion on you think it's a good thing or not, but General Flint recently said that he said Donald Trump should declare martial law and then invoke a new election with written ballots. And I'm just wanting to know, from a legal standpoint, Is that something that the president could do? And if he did choose to do that, considering who he has against him as far as big tech and the media and everyone else, and then, of course, the opposing Democrats and stuff, is there something that they could do to prevent that or to stop it? Just from a legal standpoint.
Well, Anthony, thank you for the call. And don't ever be concerned about putting me on the spot. Anthony, I am trained to be put on the spot. So no problem with that. Look, I don't think the president could do that. And the reason is, remember the nature of our government. It is a tripartite system, three co-equal branches of government, and you've got checks and balances built into it. So if the president did that, somebody would immediately run to the Supreme Court and say the president has transgressed his authority. There's no authority in the president of the United States to declare martial law and to declare a new election. That's not legal. And I think that that case would probably win against the president. So then if the Supreme Court said you may not do that, what's the president do then? And by the way, folks, this is all theoretical. I don't think Donald Trump would in any way try to subvert our constitutional republic. So please don't misunderstand. We're just talking theoretically. I think that the president then he's got to go against the Supreme Court. I think at that point, then you've got people within the government who are going to probably try to use the 25th Amendment and say he is incompetent to be in office. So I think that just can't happen. I don't think it's even practical that he could get anywhere with that. And then you probably have Republicans and Democrats coming together if they thought that the president had really exceeded his constitutional authority, probably coming together and passing legislation specifically prohibiting him from doing that. Now, of course, the president would try to override that. But I think if it were bad enough, if the people were united enough in the legislature, then they'd probably override his veto. Then what? So as a practical matter, I just don't think it's doable. But I'm glad you asked the question because it helps us remember why our system, why our Constitution has withstood 243 years of push and pull. When it was 233, I think. Of push and pull and tension and pressure, and yet has withstood the test of time unlike any other constitution in the history of mankind. So thank you so much for the call, my friend. Let's go to Nellie in Arkansas. Nellie, welcome.
Hi. I just have a quick comment, and then I'll hang up and let you talk. I'm wondering why the people who are counting the votes have any kind of writing instrument in their hand. They've got pens, pencils, markers. Why would they have any writing instrument in their hand if their only job is to count the votes? And I'll hang up and hear what you have to say.
Wow, that's a good question, and I don't know. I mean, because remember, every jurisdiction is different, and they all have their own rules and their own approaches to this. And so I couldn't answer why a jurisdiction would put a writing instrument in the hands of a vote counter. You could argue that they're using it to kind of keep a record of what they've done and what they haven't done or something like that. But yeah, it's a fair question. Look, this whole thing is just fraught with all kinds of holes, and we've got to plug them because otherwise we get to the kinds of questions like what Christian raised. Well, what did we do? And what the last caller raised. What about martial law? And what about, you know, do we need to have these people arrested? And so, yeah, we want to resolve our political differences peaceably and with debate and discussion, not with bullets and bombs. Well, listen, I love you all. Thank you all so much. It's been a great week. I hope you've enjoyed it. And get out this weekend and enjoy yourselves and just have a good time and be prayerful about the condition of the country, but don't worry about it, okay? Go to church if you can. And in the meantime, remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.